Hi, my name is Dean Smith, and in this podcast, I want to discuss the possible strange connection between the sons of God, mentioned in Genesis 6 as having married the daughters of men, and the Antichrist.
Welcome to a podcast by OpenTheWord.org, where we discuss a bit of Bible, a bit of life, and a bit of politics.
In my previous podcast entitled, Who Are the Nephilim and the Sons of God? I delved into Genesis chapter 6, verses 1 to 4, that talked about how the sons of God married the daughters of men, creating powerful leaders who ruled the ancient society. This resulted in God judging the earth with a worldwide flood. Now, I'm convinced that the sons of God were angels, fallen angels, based on how the term is used in Job chapter 1, verse 6. I also discussed Genesis chapter 6, verse 9, where we are told why God chose Noah and his family to survive this worldwide devastation. It says that Noah was perfect in his generations, or as some translations read, perfect in his time, but then footnote the word time as meaning literally generations. There is a subtle difference in the meanings between time and generations. While time suggests Noah was perfect among the people of his day, the word generation leaves the impression that Noah's past genealogy or his ancestry was perfect. And if generations is the correct rendering of this word, it helps us to understand why God initiated the flood and chose Noah. We know fallen angels were marrying women, and angelic DNA was mixing with human DNA, producing a uniquely powerful group of people. But Genesis 6 verse 9 tells us that at this point, Noah's ancestors were perfect, meaning they had not yet been contaminated by angelic DNA, and essentially that the flood was a reset. It removed the angelic contamination caused by the marriages and restored humanity back to its original, uncorrupted human DNA. But one question remains. Though the flood removed the genetic contamination, what would prevent these fallen angels from marrying women after the flood? And though we are not told how God prevented this in the Genesis account, we are given clues of what happened in the New Testament, as three New Testament writers seem to be referring to this critical time in human history: the Apostle Peter, Jude, and the Apostle John. So let's first discuss what Peter had to say. Peter seems to refer to what happened in Noah's day twice, once in each of his two letters. In his first letter, referring to Christ, the Apostle wrote,
"He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. After being made alive, he went and made proclamation to the imprisoned spirits, to those who were disobedient long ago when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. In it, only a few people, eight in all, were saved through water." 1 Peter 3, verses 18 to 20.
In this passage, we are told that sometime between Christ's death and resurrection, Christ went down and preached to spirits that were imprisoned for their disobedience during the days of Noah. So, who were these spirits, and why did Jesus go speak to them? Now, there are two basic points of view. The first is that these were evil, satanic spirits, basically fallen angels. And the second opinion is that these were human souls, people who apparently had died before Noah built the ark. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14, that angels are spirits. But though they are spirits, angels are also capable of appearing in human form. In Genesis 18, verse 8, we are told that angels appeared as humans to Abraham and were capable of eating food. But it is Peter's second mention that confirms that these were angels. In his second letter, Peter writes,
"For if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but sent them to hell, putting them in chains of darkness to be held for judgment, if he did not spare the ancient world when he brought the flood on its ungodly people, but protected Noah, a preacher of righteousness, and seven others." 2 Peter 2, verses 4 to 5.
Again, as he did in his first mention, Peter ties this to the days of Noah, when angels sinned and were imprisoned. The spirits that Jesus preached to were fallen angels, And since both these passages are connected to the days of Noah, it seems to tie in with the time when the sons of God, fallen angels, married the daughters of men, suggesting that the fallen angels who participated in these marriages were imprisoned for what they had done. This would not only stop these fallen angels from doing it again once the flood was over, but it would also serve as a warning to other angels as well. So why did Jesus preach to these fallen angels? I suspect it probably goes back to one of the reasons why these fallen angels married women in the first place. In Genesis chapter 3, after Satan tempted Adam and Eve to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, God judged Satan the serpent by stating that one of Eve's descendants would crush the head of Satan. With this prophetic judgment hanging over them, I believe the fallen angels were trying to head it off by marrying women and corrupting the human DNA, thereby hijacking this judgment. They failed, and now in prison, I believe Jesus went to these fallen angels announcing that the Lord was the one prophesied to crush the serpent's head. So now let's move on to what Jude had to say about this. So who was Jude? Well, in verse 1, Jude describes himself as the brother of James, and according to Matthew 13, verse 55, Jude and James were the half-brothers of Jesus. So what did Jude say?
And angels who did not keep their own domain, but abandoned their proper abode, he has kept in eternal bonds under darkness for the judgment of the great day, just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, since they, in the same way as these, indulged in gross immorality and went after strange flesh, are exhibited as an example in undergoing the punishment of eternal fire. Jude verses 5 to 7.
Again, like Peter, Jude talks about angels who were kept in chains. Though he doesn't directly connect this to the flood account, Jude does it indirectly by saying the reason for this imprisonment was similar to what happened in Sodom and Gomorrah when people went after strange flesh. The Greek word heteros simply means different. They were different flesh than humans. So what was this strange or different flesh referring to? Well, in the Sodom and Gomorrah account mentioned in Genesis 18, when Abraham and the angels arrived at Sodom, we are told that some of the men of the city wanted to have sex with the angels. And Jude then implies that this is the strange flesh that they were after, and this is also one of the reasons why the city was judged. The only other time that something similar to this happened was in the days of Noah, when the daughters of men were given in marriage to fallen angels. In this instance, the angels went after strange flesh, meaning it was different from them. And God also judged at that time as well. But Jude adds a tidbit. He says that the angels abandoned their proper abode. The Greek word for abode is arche and refers to position, not an actual home or place. Does this verse suggest that this group of fallen angels involved some high-ranking, perhaps even archangels, who had joined Satan in his rebellion against God? So these passages in the New Testament are not only referring to the time when fallen angels married the daughters of men, but also tells us that these angels were imprisoned, literally put in bonds, stopping this activity from continuing after the flood. But it may have only been temporary. As I mentioned in my introduction, something happens as we enter the period referred to as the end times. But to explain this, we first need to start with the words of Jesus. In Matthew chapter 24, Jesus was outlining several things to the disciples that would be taking place in the end times leading up to the Lord's second return. As part of this, Jesus said that the end times would be like the days of Noah.
For the coming of the Son of Man will be just like the days of Noah. For as in those days before the flood they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and they did not understand until the flood came and took them all away, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. Matthew 24, verses 37 to 39.
Now there are many things that define the days of Noah, including the fact that violence filled the earth and that people's hearts were dwelling on evil all the time, but Jesus didn't focus on that. Instead, the Lord referred to marriages and giving in marriage. What is this referring to? The only marrying discussed in Genesis chapter 6, of course, involved the marriages between fallen angels and women. Is it possible that Jesus was suggesting that a similar thing would be occurring in the days leading up to Jesus' second coming? Perhaps. This leads us to the final reference to imprisoned angels found in the book of Revelation, which is the Apostle John's written version of a vision of the end times that he had while banished on the island of Patmos. In the first three verses of Revelation chapter 9, John talks about a star that fell from heaven who was given a key that allowed this being, referred to as he, to unlock a bottomless pit, releasing some locust-type creatures. Then a few verses later in the same chapter, John writes,
"One saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates, and the four angels who had been prepared for the hour and day and month and year were released so that they would kill a third of mankind." Revelation 9, 14 and 15.
Both of these passages talk about beings being released from imprisonment, and the second reference specifically talks about four angels being released. Is this a reference to the high-ranking archangels that Jude seems to be alluding to? Does this also imply that the fallen angels that married the daughters of men, producing the ancient men of renown, will be released in the end times? If so, is it possible this release is connected to the appearance of the Antichrist also found in the book of Revelation? Now, there are several references to the Antichrist throughout the Bible. This is a particularly evil person who is the polar opposite of Christ and will have the unique ability to unite the world behind his wicked and satanically empowered leadership. In Daniel 8:25, he is described as a shrewd and deceitful person, and he will be able to humble the powerful men of his day. He will not only have unique political abilities, but economic ones as well, and will be able to compel people of all nations to accept his authority, which we see in Revelation chapter 13. In verses 3 and 4 of this chapter, we also see that he somehow miraculously survives a serious wound to the head, and in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 9, the Apostle Paul writes that he will be able to display unusual signs and wonders. And all this leads me to wonder if the Antichrist is similar to those men of renown mentioned in Genesis 6 and is the offspring of a relationship between a fallen angel and a daughter of men. Maybe, maybe not. Whatever the case, in the end, God will judge all humanity, Satan and his realm, the false prophet and the Antichrist, and create a new heaven and new earth.
Thanks again for joining us on our podcast. Please check out our website at opentheword.org. If you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe to receive notifications of future broadcasts. As well, please take a moment to provide a rating and even a review. Thanks again for listening.